welcome to Two Modern Mystics with your co-hosts, Dawn Fleming and Linda Robot, who are here to offer you a deeper perspective of what is really going on and how you can disconnect from the chaos and plug into a higher consciousness.
Welcome to Two Modern Mystics. I'm Dawn Fleming, and I appreciate you tuning in and listening to our show. I'm so excited for our guest today. We have evolutionary astrologer Gloria Heseloff, who will be sharing with us what's in the stars for 2016. I love Gloria's energy and her passion for astrology, and I'm very honored that she's here with us today. But before we get into today's topic, I want to introduce my co-host, Linda Robach. Linda is my good friend. She's a mystic healer. Her passion for life and her ability to love greatly impacts the healing journey of all those she assists. And it is my honor to be doing this show with her. Hello, Linda.
Hello, Dawn, and thank you so much. I also want to say Happy New Year to our listeners, since we are here in the first month of 2016. And I so enjoy doing this show with you. So I'd like to just take a moment to honor and acknowledge your ability to shine the light of inspiration for others. You've helped so many of us, I'll say me too, to gain clarity and understanding on our journey to wholeness. So, Dawn Fleming, I am so grateful for your presence in my life and in the world.
Thank you, Linda.
So, as we're in the beginning of 2016, I am filled with a renewed sense of balance. There's a peace and a knowing that fill me with a feeling of centeredness. You may remember that last year, my word for the year was hope. And this year, I'm focusing on living and being transparent. So that's my word. That means that I must be totally aware and honest, and especially with myself, and therefore vigilant over my thoughts. So I'm reminded of a friend's definition of the word denial. Don't even notice I am lying. So this year, with my goal of transparency, I intend to show up authentically and in alignment with my highest aspect. So what you see is what you get, like I'm reminded of that old song, too. So it is also about standing in integrity of what's true for me so that I'm not influenced by other people's opinions. So I am really interested today to see how Gloria's information might support my personal goal. So, Dawn, what are your thoughts about the new year?
Wow. I just want to say I really appreciate that definition for the word denial. Don't even notice I am lying. That is outstanding. It'll stick in my brain for a long while. My word for the new year is openness. Since we recently moved up near Prescott, Arizona, I want to be open to the new possibilities that exist. You know, a lot of times we make changes and we try to make the new situation look just like the old one. So what I'm doing is I want to be open to explore, you know, what is mine to do now? What is next on my journey? So I open my heart and my spirit to connect in where I am meant to be as in this place and time. And I just feel it's a very exciting time to be in. So I want to put that word openness.
So, I like that.
Linda, tell us about today's guest.
Well, I'll start off by saying, as you know, today's topic is what's in the stars for 2016. And we are so happy to have our friend and astrologer, Gloria Heseloff, here with us today. So welcome, Gloria.
Oh, thank you. It's really great to be on the show again and to showcase the mystical art and science of astrology.
Well, Gloria, you are a dear friend, and we are so happy to introduce you today. And I will start by saying you have a master's degree in education. You are a certified counselor, a certified astrologer, and everybody get this, the uncertified goddess of good times. So, as you can tell, Gloria has a varied background. She's taught classes from the elementary school level to the college. She's given presentations to Fortune 500 companies and medical institutions on subjects such as assertiveness training, hypnosis, goal setting, self-esteem, and conflict resolution. So one of her top priorities is to confirm that we live in a meaningful universe. And she's found that astrology is her deepest ally in proving that. So Gloria's said that she is first and foremost a metaphysician, and she integrates these concepts with the new sciences of quantum physics and neurobiology, along with her astrological passion. So I think I'd like to share a story about Gloria and a Community of Transformation, ACT. About 7 years ago, Gloria looked at ACT's astrological chart. Yes, that's right. Organizations have a chart based on the date and time that they become legal. And she was appalled at what she found. ACT was birthed with the moon void, of course, which means that everything is a struggle. So the board discussed this. How could we change it? And we were also considering a name change at that time to more accurately reflect who we are in the world. And we ended up having consensus to change our name from a center of transformation to a community of transformation. And we realized that that would take legal action. So Gloria suggested that she use her knowledge of electional astrology to determine the very best date and time to submit our paperwork. And then that would be considered the new birth date. So it turned out it was on Thanksgiving in 2007. And my husband and I were on the way to Charlottesville, Virginia, when Gloria called, and we did a brief blessing and ceremony as Gloria put the application in the mail. She was actually in the post office, ready to put it in the slot. And then she also subsequently shared that ACT's new chart with the board after that. So what a difference. Wow. We've been amazed at how much easier things have been. The right people have been showing up and bringing these truly amazing gifts. So that's just an example of the power of using astrology and the knowledge that it gives us. So enough now. So Gloria, will you please give us an overview of your unique view of astrology?
Yes, and I like the idea of a unique view. So I want to begin by saying that whatever I discuss today, whatever transits, planets, signs I discuss today, how you receive it depends on your level of consciousness. And there are hundreds of people listening to this broadcast, and there are so many different levels of consciousness, although I have a good idea that probably if you tuned into a show like this, you're on your way up there with levels of consciousness. So consciousness, it's such a mysterious phrase. And a couple of things that I've come up with to explain it are our prevalent thought, feeling, vibration. And also our vibrational frequency. This determines how you experience the world. Depending on where your consciousness is, dictates how you will handle the transits this year. As a matter of fact, depending on where your consciousness is, dictates the experiences you will have this year. So just going back to the definition, one of the definitions of consciousness, it's our prevalent thought, feeling, vibration. So that's a big deal, and a suggestion that I have for many of my clients, and I practice also, is I stop during the day and say, what am I thinking? How am I feeling? Because I know that is having to do with my consciousness is at that moment. So to give you an idea of how differently different people at different levels of consciousness can handle transits, I love to tell the story of Martin Luther King and Ernest Hemingway. And, of course, they lived at different times. I don't believe they certainly didn't meet. But when Ernest Hemingway had Aries on his ascendant, I know it's astrology speak, don't worry about it, but Aries is the sign for Mars, and it's the warrior sign, and in its lower consciousness, it could be violence and great anger and strong action, and that could be a higher level consciousness too. The higher level consciousness is the protector, the initiator, the spiritual warrior. So for for Ernest Hemingway, when Aries was on his ascendant, that very time is when he committed suicide. So he took that kind of violence and that action. And years later, Martin Luther King had the exact same transit. And he was in, I'm not sure what state it was, and he was sitting in at a diner. And the sheriff came in and said, you know, you're not allowed to be here. This is for whites only. And if you leave right now, it'll be fine. And he took that Aries energy, which is power and strength, and the idea of being the protector. And he said, no. And the sheriff said to him, if you don't leave of your own accord, you're going to have to go to jail. And he stayed. And, of course, that was really the beginning of the civil rights movement. So where we're at is how the planets impact us. You, sitting in your home listening to this radio show, have great power over those mammoth, magnificent, awesome planets and their energy. So that's so important to know.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you, Gloria. I know that we have a lot of questions to get to about what's going on in the stars, but recently you did a karmic astrology reading for me, and it really filled in the holes for me in this lifetime. So before we get into the questions about the alignments for 2016, can you tell us about your karmic astrology and how important it is to have this information?
Right. So it's called karmic astrology or evolutionary astrology or soul-based astrology. And really, I guess what I think about is it's the soul's journey from lifetime to lifetime in a meaningful universe. Soul's journey, your soul's journey from lifetime to lifetime in a meaningful universe. And so what we do is look at your birth chart, which is the chart of the moment you were born. And then we look at what energies you came in with, and that's called your moon south node. So who you were before this lifetime, the wonderful, powerful, positive energies of that sign of your moon's south node, and the lower energies. So you came in with some wonderful, powerful positives and some powerful negatives. And then your soul mission, the moon's north node, tells you how to make the most of the good you came in with and the medicine that will heal the lower energies you came in with. My clients find this very, very powerful. And for those of you listening, you're looking for the moon's south node and the moon's north node. And you want to find an evolutionary astrologer to help you with that. Thank you.
You know, I have
experienced that with you, Gloria, and I use this all the time, knowing what my soul's mission is and my soul's pattern. So I'm very grateful for that information. And could you tell us now, let's get to it, what do the planets have cooked up to support us in 2016, and how should we prepare for it?
There is so much support for all of us, everyone listening in. You are so incredibly supported this year in terms of evolving consciousness, evolving yourself, and therefore living a happier, more fulfilling life. So I want to begin with the concept of where we are coming from and where we are going. Because no surprise, folks, there's huge shifts going on. Have you noticed it?
Yeah.
Going on in the world and inside each one of us. So we're the microcosm, the world is the macrocosm, and we could see it happening. And the great big picture of where we're coming from and where we're at, we're in the middle of a huge shift of the ages. It's happening now. We're moving from the magnificent age of Pisces to the magnificent age of Aquarius. And each age lasts 2,000 years, perhaps a little more. And that's why things are being so shook up. But the most important thing, if you're going to write anything down from this show, please know that everything that's happening, as hard as it is to believe, is for your good, for my good, for everybody's good. It doesn't seem that way all the time, especially you listen to that evening news. But please keep that as the most prominent thing in your mind. So let's look at the age of Pisces. Now, the high level of that, the high level consciousness, remember I spoke about the consciousness? How did we do? We're getting a report card now. The high level of Pisces was caring for each other, the highest levels of spirituality, and the concept of oneness. Well, here's our report card. Look at the news. How did we do? Many of us have done fine and own it. Own it. And then when we look at what we see on the news that doesn't show where we've done fine with caring for each other and oneness consciousness, we see the results of the 2,000 years where we didn't get it right. There are some ways we did. There are some ways we didn't. And the lower level is that victim consciousness. And we're seeing so many victims. And it's that separation, which is the opposite of the unity consciousness, the oneness. And I've done quite a bit of reading lately on this topic from different sources that our greatest goal is that concept of oneness and doing away with the illusion of separateness. So we'll talk a little bit more about that when we get to Neptune.
Thank you.
And so with the age of Aquarius coming now, what is the highest level? I've read so much about it. Guess what's great? This little line I happened to hear one astrologer say a few years ago. The age of Aquarius is about what is best for most of us. Most of us on the planet, and we'll have 2,000 years to do that. And it's a freedom, equality, and rationality. And the lower consciousness is rebel without a cause. It's one more place we're coming from. I'll make it brief. It's a biggie. It's the biggest thing of any of our lifetimes. We've been going through Pluto square Uranus. And it's still a powerful force. And I want you to know for at least the next 5 years, every other transit is there to support the Pluto square Uranus, which is about transforming structures. Have we seen it in the world? My gosh, we've seen it all over the world. Have you felt it inside yourself? I pray that you have. I pray that you are feeling your basic structures transforming to higher levels. And Uranus and Aries, radical, potent change. So that's the overview.
Oh, thank you.
Wow. So are there any significant alignments we need to be aware of in 2016?
Yes, there. The one that I'm going to focus on today with the time, being aware of time, is Saturn square Neptune. And frankly, a lot of astrologers, more traditional astrologers, looked at this and said, oh, first of all, it's a square, which is so hard. That's a traditional view of astrology. Then how in the world do you get together Saturn, which is the planet of limitation and narrowness and rigidity and being so earthbound, very much into the material world? How do you get together with Neptune? We're talking about the essence of the planet, of course, the spirit of the planet. And Neptune is about, oh, going up into the wonderful spirituality, being one with the beloved. And how do those two, they don't get along at all. This is going to be a really tough time. But more modern astrologers, and I study a lot with Stephen Forrest, he's my mentor, and just we see it in such a wonderful way. Because, see, when you know that everything up there, everything that's coming to us is for our good, it kind of reminds me of when I attended black churches and the phrase the minister says and then all the participants say, God is good all the time. You might have heard that. That's what we have to remember here. So the first square appeared November 26, 2015. Does that day ring a bell? It was Thanksgiving Day. So my phrase from Voltaire, God is a comedian with an audience that's afraid to laugh. Here, people are afraid of this transit, and it comes to us, at least in the States, on Thanksgiving Day. And we can be thankful even for the square, terrible reputation in traditional astrology, because it's filled with tension and it's so hard. But modern astrologers see it as a turning point. And so Saturn and Neptune, so different. So different. And they live inside you. You embody them. The spiritual part and then this part that wants to be, no, I'm staying here. I'm limited to these beliefs and I'm staying here. They want to integrate these energies. And it's going to be a little challenging for us because it is a square. But here's the big picture. I love to give the big picture and then I get into the nitty-gritty. The big picture is Saturn, who represents maturity, integrity, responsibility. Saturn wants us to mature our spirituality. And as we do that, boy, this is quantum, this is a new year, a leap year. And so it's like a quantum leap for us. This is a great opportunity. So, listening audience, just think, what does that mean to you to become more mature in your spirituality? So take a moment to think about that. And then I'm going to ask Linda and Dawn to join the conversation. It's such an exciting conversation, I think, a little complicated. What does it mean?
Oh, for me, as I was thinking and you were sharing that, for me it means that I have to be vigilant with my thoughts. And I need to practice things that I know work for me to help me stay present. So being in the now, to quit thinking about the past or the future and show up as present And that doesn't mean that I don't plan or things like that, but being fully present, I know, would help me mature more spiritually. That just came to me as you were
wonderful.
Were talking.
Yes.
I don't know, Dawn, do you have thoughts?
Definitely being in the present moment is top there. And also, it's like looking at what are those things we're doing that aren't supporting us to be at that highest spiritual place that we can be. It's like being so honest with ourselves, what's not working, and what do I really have to get let go of? You know, that pressure, let go, live in integrity. So it's time, it's really time. And then as we live in the moment, we have to trust, you know, keep our mind in that place of faith and trust. And like that saying that Gloria said, God is good all the time. And trusting that and not moving into fear, and that fear just limits and straps us in a really stuck place. So I think all this is really great advice for being in alignment with our highest spiritual self. So thank you for bringing that up.
Something else that just crossed my mind was about a practice that I've been doing just recently that seems to be working. When you were talking about questioning those things that don't work for us, you know, like questioning, and then really sitting down, and I've been using a question, I'll say, what would an enlightened person do about this, whatever it was? And then I start writing the answer. And it's really been helpful to me, kind of being a witness to myself. But that's another thing that crossed my mind that we could do to help us mature spiritually. You know, what if?
Wow. Oh, boy, this could be a whole radio show. I'm
absolutely
having such a good time.
Thank
and
you.
And I wish we could hear from the audience. I'm sure they have.
Yeah, and we could write all these down. And
right.
Anyway, Gloria, are there any words that of advice that you'd like to give to those who are planning on making a big change this year?
Right. So I do want to say, for me, as I've thought about these things, what comes to me is the concept of oneness, okay? And that's such a huge and challenging subject, yes. So the concept of oneness. Okay.
So is there, do you believe that there's support out there?
There is so much support out there. And what I decided to do this time is to focus, what I'm really into now is embodying what I'm talking about. So I'm going to go into more depth with this significant concept that's out there of Saturn square Neptune. And so while traditional astrology sees it challenging, the way they do is Neptune says, hey, it's spiritual. Saturn says it's material. Neptune says, oh my gosh, Saturn's too woo-woo and flaky. And Neptune says, Saturn is too rigid and narrow and gloomy. Well, how do you get those guys together? It's almost like I feel like I'm doing relationship counseling. So, but we have to know Neptune, and this is for each of you. See, when I'm talking about Neptune, I'm talking about the Neptune inside of you, the spiritual peace inside of every person listening and every person on this planet. So Neptune, in its own way, while it's been called flaky, is really quite realistic, and I think the audience is going to relate to this. What is flaky about the idea that we live in a multidimensional universe? To me, that seems pretty reliable. And that we're so much more than our physical bodies.
Mm-hmm.
That we are a spiritual being in a physical body. Isn't that a wonderful way to bring the two of them together?
Yes.
And then Saturn says, wait a minute, we have to live in this world. Every morning we wake up on planet Earth. So these two energies are trying to integrate. And so when you, and I'm helping you to see this in yourself, do you live as a spiritual person so much with your head in the clouds that you're of no earthly good. But along comes Saturn, not as an enemy, but a wonderful support, and brings you back to earth, confronts us with reality. And darn it, I want to go sit on that mountain. I want to meditate in my meditation room. And you get a call from your kid's school. Okay, that's Saturn. See, you already know about astrology. You're living it every day because all the planets are archetypes of you. You are the universe. It's a holographic thing. You hold the planets inside, the essence of them. And so what I'm asking you to do as I'm talking about the planets is understand how it applies to you. So Saturn energy is so rigid with the material world that it forgets to ask the most basic question. And does this happen to you, or do you live with someone that it happens to often? Saturn will forget, why are we here? What's the purpose of life? What is ultimately important? Now, guess who could come and help with that? Your friend Neptune, and they're all your friends. So what I'm saying, and I want you to remember for whenever you touch astrology, is how can you get on the good side of these planets so that they work for you? And what you do is you don't resist them, and you ask yourself, what's not working with Saturn now? What's not working for me? With and being in integrity, a big word for Saturn, and being with achievement. Am I in integrity? Am I achieving? Am I being mature? Responsible? These are some of the major words. Mm. And if not, you need to get on board with Saturn. And how about spirituality? Hey, am I really a little too woo? That's a hard question because, frankly, I love to be woo. Mm-hmm. My soul pattern is in Pisces, which is Neptune, so I love that. But my soul mission is Virgo, and it gets me grounded, so it's another way to do this. So here's the big question for you. Linda said, what's working us this year? Let's personalize it. This transit asks us, how has your faith been tested in 2015? So take another moment. Let's really give the audience some time to think about that. That's the question they're asking you. And so I've heard so much from clients and friends and myself. There's so much hatred and violence and fear. And boy, the news keeps reminding us of that. And here's the question. Have you been able to keep your heart open as you're watching that? That's Neptune. Can you still be in touch with the great mystery of life? Another astrologer said something, and I will say, I'm just going to prepare everyone, this was shocking. She was talking about the past year. And she spoke about the sacred sites that have been decimated in the Middle East. And I know jointly our heart hurts when we see it. And she said something at first that took my breath away. I felt it was sacrilegious. And the more I think about it, I'm going, wow. So here's what she said. We needed this because this is the time of the new age. And those sacred sites hold old energy that no longer supports us in moving ahead. And we need to make room for the new. So I must say personally, that broke my heart when I thought about it. I said, why can't we keep the old and have room for the new? But perhaps the consciousness of humanity is not there. So again, you know, I even feel uncomfortable saying it. But looking at things and seeing that this is helping us move into this new age. What in your life has been taken away, is gone, and how is it making way for the new? And have you perhaps now actively need to find what no longer works for you to make room for the new?
Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. What a great way of looking at that. That what could be looked at as very harsh, but looking at it in a very practical way to apply that to our lives. So as a human race, as we collectively make steps for world peace, hopefully that's where we're going, what are the astrological alignments that support or stress us in this area? And I know world peace comes from that peace that we cultivate within ourselves. So you can't have one without the other.
Right. So this, what we're living now, and it's so many of the alignments, and I'm trying not to do astrology speak as I talk about this, but there is around us a profound call for a major update of our belief systems. And we've been talking about that for a long time, and now is the time. And it's almost developing an intolerance for staying stuck in what doesn't serve us, because the belief systems are what has created the world we live in today. And so it's time to explore that which you hold dear. And can your beliefs withstand Saturn's reality check? Because Saturn's very big this year. Saturn's in Sagittarius, Pluto's in Capricorn, which is Saturn's sign. And there's a reality check, and it has to do with our belief systems. So take, if you have some good friends who are allies and in kinship with you, explore these topics together and be really honest with each other. And here's another piece of this. It's time to pare down your faith to what you know to be true from your direct experiences and direct revelation. And by the way, I started studying shamanism this the end of last year, and boy, do you have direct experience with that. So we're not so much listening to the so-called experts. They can guide us, but then go within and look at your direct experience. Or think about your life. Think about all the things you hold to be true for your belief systems, and I'm going to talk about spirituality right now since Neptune's so big. What is true for you? What has consistently over the years been true for you? And I'm thinking back to the harmonic convergence, shows my age. It was 86, 87. Some of you may remember that. And what has consistently stayed true? And again, time doesn't let us get into it too deeply. But for me, I'm seeing that we are co-creators, that our thoughts and feelings create our experience. And many things have come and gone since 86, 87, but boy, that's it. What we focus on expands. All right, so but that's my little piece there.
Mm-hmm.
And see, it's so complicated. Here's our in our face, the Syrian refugee issue, and it's a moral dilemma. And be aware how many moral dilemmas we're faced with. The purpose is to help us expand and get to know ourselves. So Neptune says, hey, we're all one. Open your arms to them. And Saturn says, hey, a reality check. Will we be safe? And make sure you vet the people that come in. Be aware of who's coming. Neptune is in its own sign, Pisces, and it's dissolving our borders. All over the world, the borders are being dissolved by countries. And Neptune says, that's not really a bad thing. And I whisper it because a part of me is going, whoa, Gloria. But what borders are dissolving inside of you so that your heart is more open? Astrology is in our face every day. Every day. And another piece in terms of your question, I want to talk about the Mercury retrogrades for this year, and I know people are so interested in them. And normally there's usually three, sometimes not, and this is a year when there's four.
Ooh.
And they can be feared because things get screwed up. Technology gets screwed up. Communications get screwed up. You're told not to sign contracts during this time. And then a more positive view of it is it's time to reevaluate. So in front of a lot of words, put the letters R-E. So it's rethink, review, reexamine, replace, redo, replay, and my favorite, rewrite. Because this is something I've come up with, and I'm going to do a workshop with the ACT community during the next Mercury retrograde, and I'll get to those dates soon. Mercury is about communication and perception, the spoken word and the written word. And during a Mercury retrograde, it's a time to rewrite the main story of your life, the story that gives you identity. It's the story you live daily, and it's the story that lives you. That story really lives you, and you've developed it. There's not a lot of time, but you've developed it from childhood and, of course, from other lifetimes. So see how they all support this? It's supporting updating your belief systems. And so the dates for the Mercury retrograde, we just went through one, January 5th to January 25th. The next one's April 28th to May 21st, August 30th to September 22nd, and then we have December 19th to January 28th, 2017. So we go, Mercury takes us full circle. Updating your narrative helps you move into the age of Aquarius with a new story, a story of freedom, what's good for most people, liberation, and equality.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And, you know, I'm thinking, too, that Mercury retrograde does bring up this angst and fear or whatever. So we're all interested in times when we can ride the wave and life seems effortless.
Right.
So are there any alignments that will make our lives feel effortless in this year?
Yes. So first of all, there is, as I mentioned, a lot of Saturn. It's throughout the year. And with that, it's time to take your authority back. That's a big lesson of Saturn. That's one thing if you're writing anything down. This is the year to do that. Whoever you have given authority away to, it could be government, it could be parents, it could be spouses, best friends, even your spiritual leaders. Take your authority back. This is the time to do that and find out for yourself what is truth. And another thing this year that's going to be challenging is there's no air. I'm talking about the element of air until September. And so that's why irrationality still reigns on this planet. And I mean reigns in both ways. There's so much irrationality because air brings rational thought, rational feelings to us. However, in September, Jupiter moves out of Virgo and into Libra. Hallelujah. And Libra is air. And so rationality returns. And what I am telling you is you are so powerful. You don't have to wait till September. Bring the rationality. Each one listening here, you be a light of rationality in your own life, and that will get that energy going further.
That's beautiful. I really I've never thought about that air bringing rationality.
Right. So I just want to end with when Linda mentioned what will be effortless. You know, Neptune is about miracles. And miracles are all around us. And I don't know the exact quote, but someone mentioned to me in the Course of Miracles, the phrase is that miracles are not that unusual. They're around us all the time. And Saturn helps us see the reality of that. And so, I mean, it's as simple as what we take for granted, the sunrise and the sunset. I mean, they're so beautiful. They're such a miracle, and trees and what they give to us and how we give back with the exchange of oxygen and carbon dioxide. And then the synchronicities in life. Please, Saturn is helping you in this realm notice all the miracles that are around you. And Stephen Forrest uses the phrase, this year, miracles abound. I love that. And that means we're going to notice them. And, wow, how did they not get hit by that car? It was a miracle. How did that book just fall into my hands? So this year, notice the reality of miracles in your daily life.
Wow, what a note to end
with. Yeah, that is a great
note. So as we're coming to the end of the show, I would like our listeners to know if they'd like more of Gloria's wonderful information, and especially if you live in the Maryland area, Gloria will be speaking at a community of transformation, the ACT Gathering, on Sunday afternoon, February 14th. What a wonderful place and time to be with your Valentines. And I said times because there are a number of us, I think, that love being together. And we'd love for you to join us if you're in the area. But the details about the program and all can be found on ACT's website, which is www.actannapolis.org. And Dawn, I know you have some things coming up. Would you share before you close?
Sure. I have a Reiki 2 class in the Scottsdale area on January 31st. If you'd like to sign up for that class, you can just go to my website at energytransformations.org, and that's transformations with an S, so energytransformations.org, and you'll see a place on the left to click on for the current classes. And also, I have a free newsletter that anyone can sign up to receive. It comes via email every other month, and if you sign up, you get a free chakra meditation, an MP3 that you can download to your iPod, to your iPad, to your computer, wherever you want to download it to, and help align those chakras. So, Gloria, I want to thank you so much for being our guest. I always learn so much whenever you talk. So if anyone has the opportunity to go to ACT's meeting on February 14th, they'll not only learn a lot, but you're such a light, and you have so much wisdom and expertise, and you're just a beautiful soul, and I think anyone attending that event would just so benefit from all that you have to give. So thank you so much, Gloria, for being with us today and sharing. We just greatly appreciate it. And,
it's really been a joy. Thank you.
Thank you. So, you know, as we close, you know, move into that thought of how we can spiritually mature. What is it we can do to spiritually mature in 2016? And as we do that, just may we align with all the light that's within us and allow that light to shine more brightly in this new year, 2016. Namaste.
Namaste.
Namaste.